baby Friday. Fan Morning Show, Justin Naylor, Sports at 590. The Fan, we got a perfect show lined up for you today.
Do we?
I think it's going to be great.
I didn't know it was perfect.
Well, everything's perfect. Every day's perfect.
Okay.
Today's going to be a good one. We got TJ Brody and his wife, Amber, in studio at 7 a.m. They're going to be chatting some burgers with us.
Yeah,
big day
if
today.
You're going to have a perfect show, there has to be at least one in studio guest.
Yeah, and because today's going to be fun.
It's good for vibes, right?
It's Burgers of Beat MS today, and a personal story for them. So they're going to come in and chat with us at 7 a.m., talk about this special day on the calendar and how we can all be a part of helping raise some money for MS to beat MS. And that's going to be at 7 a.m. We got Edge coming on. Edge at 7 or 8:30. Shai Davidi and Shane Ryan. It's going to be a great day. Edge. I don't think he's in studio. He'd be intimidating.
No. But that's like, that is a candidate for in studio because he's bombing around.
He's around.
He's doing promotion.
Big stuff going on in Toronto.
Yeah, celebrating a 25th anniversary on SmackDown Friday night, a big special against Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Not really familiar with Sheamus. I don't think he's going to stand a chance. Can we bet on that? Can we bet on Edge this Friday night? That would be the nuts, right?
Yeah.
Edge, 25th anniversary, return to Toronto. I don't think Sheamus stands a chance personally.
We'll chat with him at 8:30. He's a fan favorite, big time Leafs fan as well. He's got a new t-shirt out in collaboration with the Leafs. Can take a look at that, but that will be very fun. Lots of good stuff to come today on the Fan Morning Show.
I thought for a little while there that relationship might have hinged on Kyle Dubas because he's a big wrestling guy.
I think so as well.
So I was like, oh, there goes all the wrestling. Look at that, Survivor Series.
I didn't even mean to do that.
I thought you were proud of that.
I'll own that one that I didn't mean it.
No, I thought that was the connection, but I guess it runs deeper than that. So we'll find out about all that.
Yeah, maybe Trey Living's a wrestling guy.
Maybe he is. What concert did you think you saw?
I still think there's an 86% chance that
86
that Trey Living was like four rows ahead of me with his daughters. It was the back of his head looked like
what
Trey
show
Living.
Was that again?
It was Stevie Nicks.
Was it Stevie Nicks?
Like, why would you not be there? It was like a week after he became GM, floor seats. Remember, my seats were baller. They were 10 rows from
were
Stevie Nicks's
face.
No, I totally sniped those.
You were doing what you were doing on the highway yesterday.
0% of those seats were mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I weaseled my way. Sometimes you have to be a weasel.
So you got weaseled your way to be close enough to maybe Treliving, although I maintain I think that guy had too much hair.
Maybe he's been working a little Rogaine in there.
Maybe. I might have to work a little Rogaine soon.
I know. You just go to Turkey and get a hair transplant.
I've heard that. I remember like 10 years ago, I was like, just let nature take its course.
Everywhere on TikTok.
And now I'm like, there's too many advancements in technology all around the world and in every facet of life.
You could take a month off and come back and have luscious locks.
You would make fun of me endlessly, though. I would look like an absolute...
The process is tough looking for the first couple weeks.
I'd look like a creature. And it would be forever. I feel like I'd never get out of that.
It's like a pet. You know, when you used to grow those things? That's what your hair looks like for the first little while.
I also feel like I can't do anything with my hair without being mocked endlessly. Like if I did anything else, anyone.
From me, I've literally never once spoken about your hair.
I haven't changed my hair around you. But anyone else in my past, it's just like, what are you doing?
What other type of hair did you have? Did you have a flow ever?
I always wanted it, but couldn't. It never worked.
It's not
my hair
you.
Just doesn't grow that way. It just gets like thick, not long.
Like every 16-year-old junior...
Yeah.
C player that's got the wings under the hat.
Everyone does like the, oh yeah. You know, when I knew I wasn't a hockey player is when I played.
I couldn't grow the flow.
No, that's what I was going to say. So I couldn't grow proper hockey hair. But everybody else was like, yeah, I played with John Tavares once and he schooled me. Like, that's when I knew. I'm like, no, you knew 5 to 10 years before that. I knew when I couldn't grow the hair, though.
Anyway, you could do it. I wouldn't make fun of you. Maybe it'd be a month of pain, but then the rest of your life you'd have...
Is it permanent?
Has anybody ever gotten this?
What's a flight to Turkey looking like right now just for this reason alone?
People are doing this. I've seen it online. It's a real trending topic.
And what are they doing in Turkey that they can't do anywhere else?
Probably a lot of different. Right now, you can go to Istanbul for $1,400. I could book it for you. It's a gift.
$1,400.
It's not bad. No.
I'd have to make a holiday of that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like nice things to see there.
12 days of travel, 2 of hair transplant.
That's what people are
travel
doing.
Travel and transplant.
And getting veneers.
I'm not,
that to me is creepy because they shave your teeth down.
That, yeah. That, why does that? Is that like a coloring thing?
No, they shave your teeth down to these creepy little stubs, and then they give you a whole new set of teeth.
Oh, really?
Veneers, yeah. And they're like, they are like what I picture Ken, a Barbie doll, Ken's teeth to look like, perfectly straight and glowingly. Yeah. There's nothing unique about them.
Fake teeth is worse than fake hair. It's so obvious.
Yeah, that no one's ever gotten away with fake teeth that you didn't know.
And no, it could not be more obvious. No one has teeth that look like what come out with fake teeth.
But
like,
shout out doctors in Turkey.
Apparently they know what they're doing. They got to spread that knowledge around the world. Not everyone can fly to Turkey, but everyone needs hair.
I think there's different legal medical laws here.
Are there? Hair transplants?
I think there's some different things going on there.
What, is it like dangerous?
Probably.
99% effective rate or 1%?
There's probably some risks that they don't have the same laws here. Anyway, someone listening...
Yeah, we need
that's
to
either
it.
I mean, thought
I'm not
it.
Desperate. I'm just like, there's like maintenance. There's preservation.
It's thinning a bit.
If you do it now, can you like save yourself in the future?
It's thinning a tiny bit, but that's okay.
I mean, it's, you know.
It's a sign of maturity. You've got a beard. That's whatever.
Actually, you did the thing with the chiropractor where it's like, you get up early, there's going to be some side effects.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that the other day, and like, one of the side effects for men.
Is it?
Lack of sleep could be hair loss.
Oh, no.
It's not good.
We should have taken a picture on your first day, just the back of your head.
And then no, we shouldn't have.
2 years later.
a time lapse of my hair.
Well, there is a camera,
is
right?
Not something
there's
I
a
need.
Camera right behind your head. If you've never seen our social clips, there's one that was on me and one on Justin, yeah. Of course. But the one behind your head sometimes gets a glimpse of
it's
the top
not,
of your
it's
head.
It's the worst place to put a camera.
It's really about 1 inch above your head. Mm-hmm. And if you were to, you know, adjust in your seat a bit, it would catch the top of your head.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm going to go back and watch some clips.
Nah.
No, I said I wasn't going to make fun of you. You're all good. See, it's most likely cheaper to do it in Turkey. Well, that's certainly a part of it. Someone text that in. It's definitely cheaper. Anyway.
That's the key. Like, I got to do it but when I can, like, still wear a hat to work, too. Like, if you just show up one day and you look completely different, oh, you're not getting away with that.
Let's talk. I think you still got some time. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't get too nervous about
your claims.
You know who was beautiful, Flo? Kevin Gausman. Unbelievable flow. He's got hockey player flow.
No, can you trust that flow though? Because why do you have long hair at this point?
Is he just a bro?
Is it because like you're
he's tatted
you're,
up
are you
and
hiding
he's got
something
flow.
At the back with the long
no,
hair?
No, I don't think he is.
You
I think he's
got
probably
the full
got an immaculate flow.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And he looks like he's just pouring out of the hat when he's on the mound. It usually looks good. It wasn't as great last night.
No, it wasn't.
Performance wise. I think maybe Kikuchi's taken over the ace role now. We can confidently say that.
Are you serious about that?
No, but I'm just, you know, it's a joke, but I'm like 10% serious about it.
No, you can be more than 10%. I think you want to be more than 10%. You can be more than 10%.
I'm not.
Who's the best starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays right now? It's you,
Yusei Kikuchi,
but let's be honest.
You know, I don't know why we're just like a little bit like, hesitant about it.
It's because of last year.
It was because Kevin Gausman's a Cy Young
and
candidate.
Kevin Gausman's probably still top three shortest odds in the Cy Young.
I think he's still leading at least the AL East in strikeouts.
Yeah, like, he does.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of tongue-in-cheek. Oh, Yusei had a great performance.
Thankfully, they don't have to make that decision in a one-off.
No.
Because let's say if there's one game, which was what it was before.
It's still, obviously, it's still Kevin Gausman.
No, but if Kevin, because Kevin Gausman's sputtering here a little bit. And
he didn't have much help last night.
No, but that's the truth of the matter is that he's sputtering just a little bit. He did have 7 clean innings his last time out before last night against Cleveland. But, you know, 3 earned runs the night before or the outing before. 1-4-2-2-1-3-1. I mean, that's decent. But he's given up a lot of hits. He's not been his dominant self of late.
I still believe in him.
I still believe in him too, but I guess one thing we were talking about when you were on vacation was like all this doesn't matter if Kevin Gausman isn't great, right? Because he's going to get the ball on the first game of the wild card more often than not, unless Yusei Kikuchi just has a 1.1 ERA until the end of time, right? I feel like despite it being maybe 10%, it's more likely or than not going to be Kevin Gausman. And if he loses that game and you're forced to then make a decision between your next 3 and you also force the team to be kind of perfect if Kevin Gausman just doesn't have what we expect from him. And I think right now, despite, you know, what he's built up over the course of the season in terms of strikeouts and in terms of war and in terms of, you know, progress towards potentially getting a Cy Young, not maybe not nod, but nomination, is that he's fading just a little bit in this course of the season, and we need to see him dig in and find a way to have starts where seven runs aren't being scored against him. And I know a couple of them were unearned, but still, it was not a sharp night. He abandoned the splitter just a little bit. He relied maybe too heavily on the fastball, or for whatever reason had to throw more fastballs than he normally would. It just wasn't a great Kevin Gausman start, and it's not like this is a complete outlier. He hasn't been great lately, and he's probably going to have to be pretty great, or it's going to be a whole lot of bullpen and a whole lot of late-game offense for a team that hasn't produced any offense at really any time with regularity.
Yeah, I feel like Kevin Gausman early on in the season was shouldering so much of the workload, and I'm not concerned that that's, you know, a part of why the last seven starts haven't looked as prolific as it can be. But there was a stretch there where there was certainly some frustration when there was four starters and Alec Manoah was out and they're getting pushed a little longer, and then Kevin Gausman got injured. And, you know, that's not last night's reasoning, but it is interesting about the splitter. Like, that's the Kevin Gausman specialty. He had the splitter jersey, the giveaway jersey. Like, this is Kevin Gausman. He went away from it a little bit last night. They did actually, John Schneider did talk post game about his splitter and his pitch selection. Like, nothing to be alarmed about, but we'll play that clip. Here's John Schneider post game.
You know, it's such a good pitch. I think if it's carrying the zone a little bit, he can throw it whenever he wants because of the action to it. You know, even if they're sitting on it, it's still really hard to hit. And he had a really good fastball tonight. So that was kind of the cat and mouse game, if you will. But, you know, he's really good at kind of seeing what hitters are doing. And then it just depends on whether the split is carrying the zone or not. But he had a really good heater tonight, and I think that's why he used it.
It's true. At least a 98, I thought, at one point.
Well, if I'm reading between the lines, the heater might have been good, but the splitter wasn't.
Yeah, and that's all right.
If Kevin Gausman is splitterless down the stretch, it's an issue because the splitter is what has made him go from, you know, maybe a failed top draft pick to someone who could win Cy Young's and make a lot of money and play, you know, to take on the ace role for his third team in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Like, that is the key to all of his success. And he didn't have it last night, at least it seems. I guess he had the fastball, but that's telling you in a different way that he didn't have the splitter. And it's not going to work for Kevin Gausman without it. So it's a pretty important thing that he rediscovers said splitter.
Yeah, margin of error has been, I think, pretty slim these last two games. I mean, the Phillies are no schlubs. Like, they were World Series team last.
It's a really good lineup. I don't know how they're firmly in
they're
wild
in a
card.
Similar spot with the Blue Jays, though, like the way that they're outlook looks, you know.
I guess, but like, it's a different team to me.
Well, I mean, look at Bryce Harper, two home runs last night.
Yeah,
you kind of forget that they have
JT
these.
JT Realmuto's hitting like these, seventh in the lineup. Yeah. Who's sitting seventh in the Blue Jays lineup right now?
I mean,
it's like probably Varsho. Probably was Varsho last night, but Biggio fifth. Like, that lineup's better than the Blue Jays lineup. There's no question about that.
And what's been holding the Blue Jays was their starting pitching. So last night, a little bit less of the confidence spot. They didn't have the greatest pitching performance, but the error in the fifth inning by Espinal, that throw to Vladdy that was off, changes the momentum. Like, Blue Jays had a lead multiple times in this game. That happens. I mean, it's just been a glaring difference in the infield and the outfield without Chapman, Bo, and your everyday players. Chapman, got to get back here real quick because it's looking a little scary. Like, this might be a look into next year if you can't extend or continue a contract with Matt Chapman. Is Espinal the guy that you want to see there every day? Like, I know this is one error last night, but it's not, you know, the most high point of confidence I have when I see him out there running it in three consecutive games at third.
13 months ago, he was at an All-Star game, right? 13 months ago, Santiago Espinal, MLB All-Star. 13 months later, I don't think he has any, like, I cannot find one bit of utility for him with this team right now. Like, you got Paul DeJong to play backup shortstop. I guess your backup third baseman is Santiago Espinal. He should be able to play some backup shortstop as well. You decided that he couldn't for you. He's not giving you anything at the plate. He, in big spots, is throwing it in the dirt a little bit. And I think Vladdy should wear a little bit. I think, you know, it's officially an Espinal error.
Like, but a 70-30, how about that?
Yeah, and I think that's fair. But at the end of the day, you got to make that throw. Like, you just need him to come through in that spot. That is so costly. And when you're a guy that is only costing you, it seems like at this point, I'm running out of patience with Santiago Espinal.
Yeah, so we had some positive news about some of the guys that actually got an opportunity to play down in Buffalo yesterday. Seems like Bo Bichette, barring something, will be back in the lineup probably for Friday. He had his rehab assignment yesterday. Looks like Chad Green, Trevor Richards also saw some time. Things are looking positive. But Chapman, he's maybe a little bit behind. But once Bo Bichette comes back to this lineup, it's going to feel so much better. It's going to look like a dominant lineup. Maybe their best when everyone's back in this lineup. They're going to look maybe one of the best lineups we've seen in baseball in a long time for the Blue Jays. So we're around the corner.
Really? You're going that far?
If you get Chad Green, Trevor Richards, Bo Bichette, Matt Chapman. Everybody back, obviously.
When you said lineup, I was thinking offense.
No. Once everybody's back in this lineup, and we're going to have Shai Davidi back on, and I've been hearing this more and more on our broadcast, on our radio network, the question of, like, is this the best starting rotation since blank?
Mm-hmm.
This is the best bullpen since blank. And we're hearing, like, in the Vladdy Bo era, which is, you know, pretty good, but I've even heard tricklings of, I don't know, maybe ever, like ever for Blue Jays players. Like, I don't know the history of every single starting lineup in Blue Jays history, but this is looking really, really, a starting rotation. But once they get everybody healthy in the next week or two with all these guys that have been on the IL or injured, it's going to look like a completely different team. It's going to come at the right time. They need this.
It's definitely coming at the right time. It's coming with a lot of winnable games. I mean, it feels like forever waiting for this,
but
it does feel close, as we were talking about yesterday. Great question for Shai about, you know, where this bullpen, too, specifically, is historically, because I can't remember a bullpen that, at least on paper, has looked this good or has had this much potential. But yeah, Chad Green, and we learned a little bit about what Chad Green's role might be for Martin Zwelling last night on the broadcast. He threw 30 pitches yesterday at AAA, and I guess that's a good indicator because they want to use him as kind of this guy who bridges the gap from one inning to the next, where he might have to throw 30 pitches, see about 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 batters, depending on what the situation is. So a guy that's going to soak up some pretty critical pre-leverage, if you want. It's leverage, but it's pre-8-9, I guess.
And then you got Hicks, innings, and you got Romano.
And then you got Hicks and Romano to turn it over, too. So I think a lot, like, we were doing this earlier in the year. It's like, oh, if Chad Green comes back, it's a luxury, right? It feels like they're fully depending on Chad Green coming up and playing a pretty sizable role for this team, despite the talent already at the back end of their bullpen. It felt overly optimistic, or it would have felt overly optimistic 3 months ago if we knew maybe what we know now. But Chad Green, maybe that's why they're being patient with him, because it's like, hey, this is pretty important. We got to be sure. We got to be careful with this ramp up process. And, I don't know if we're going to see him against Cincinnati this weekend, but we're going to see him soon, it seems, because, despite the Heineman throw, his ramp-up process is nearing completion.
So another off day for the Blue Jays today. They're spoiled right now. A lot of off days when it matters to get some guys back in the lineup. They're at the Reds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Another off day Monday, and then they start a 3-game set against the Baltimore Orioles. So, you know, hoping that you target next Tuesday as 95% healthy lineup, and that would look pretty damn good against a team that would be nice to get some wins against. And then you got Cleveland in the distance as well. So the injury bug hopefully turning here, but if, let's say, Bo comes back Friday, which is seemingly a confident thing to look forward to, they'll finish 8-7 without him on the stretch.
I mean, and it was 9-8 after the 17-17. So it's like they're not. Everything's fine, I guess. It's like it's treading water is exactly what it is. And I guess if you treaded water through a difficult portion of the schedule without your best player, it's good. But if, I don't know what the winning percentage is on 8 of 15, it's slightly over 500, obviously. But I don't know if slightly over 500 is going to get it done. Despite, you know, the Mariners having some issues. Apparently they can't hold a lead because their bullpen's awful.
Yeah.
By the way, a reminder, first five, we got to bet the Mariners, first five innings. Apparently, you know, despite all that, the Mariners are still going to win ball games. It's still going to be very, very competitive in the race down the stretch. And I'm not sure slightly better than 500 is going to get it done. This team's going to have to win some ball games here. They've got winnable ball games coming up. And the end of season schedule is not looking as bad as we initially thought. Like, it's, you'd rather Tampa and New York than the Orioles and the Red Sox at this point, I think, if it has to be inside the division. If it has to be two teams that I guess are considered plus or were considered plus when we were really sizing up the schedule. But the Tampa Bay Rays could be absolutely going through it soon. Their pitching injuries are awful. Obviously, the Wander Franco situation is a massive thing. And it looks like the New York Yankees are coming completely undone. So maybe that the end of season is the best time to get the Yankees.
A great time to change the narrative that you can't beat AL East teams. You wrap up your season with some different winnable games that maybe when we set up the schedule, I remember when we were previewing the season and I looked and it was like the last 17 games or something, or Yankees, Rays, Red Sox, Orioles. It was just, oh God, this team's going to need to really dial it in. But some of those teams,
I think it's Yankees, Rays.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Where it ends.
It's just back to back to back, all AL East, and that's a new thing, which is nice. Yeah, Rays, Yankees, and some Rangers in there too, and Red Sox. So they,
no, there is a Red Sox.
Yeah, there's
okay.
a Red Sox.
When I'm looking at it, the most difficult series, the Orioles this upcoming week. Is an important one, but that four-game set against Texas at home in the middle, like right before the Red Sox as well, I mean, that's going to be a big challenge. And, yeah, they do close Yankees, Rays. Rays.
And those teams could be in not the greatest spot, so maybe you can capitalize. Anywho, it's looking like things are going to turn for the best, hopefully injury-wise, because Blue Jays need it. They need Bo Bichette back to 80% Bo Bichette, because his lineup will look a lot better. Kevin Biggio. We kind of
firmly cemented as the number five hitter in the Blue Jays lineup.
Well, yeah, he's like a bug you just can't squash, you know? But
I don't want to squash Kevin.
No, but this is what I was going to say.
I'm team Kevin right now.
He, in his last 30 games, he's been pretty damn good, and I don't know if he's just flown under the radar because we're talking a lot about Vladdy, we're talking a lot about Bo, and we're talking a lot about our starting pitching. But Kevin Biggio deserves a lot more flowers for what we've been giving him. Man, he's been pretty consistent. And his foot, obviously, we know we joked around about it on Tuesday with the hit-by-pitch to help win the game. But other than that, he's actually been pretty good, consistent guy in this lineup, and I think it's time to give him a little bit of praise. And I think maybe he just gets like, he's just an easy guy to pick on once in a while, because it seems like, I don't know, the management and the coaching staff has like loved Kevin Biggio forever, and maybe not like justifiably, and it's been like, well, Kevin Biggio can never like leave this team, he's always Kevin Biggio. But you know, I'll give him a little bit of pause and say he's been pretty good lately.
On that note, we got a note from Azeet, whatever it is, from Keegan Matheson last night in late April,
this
when Kevin Biggio was really struggling. John Schneider pulled him aside in Houston and told him, dude, I'm never going to give up on you. No one is. I don't know how he pulled that quote, how he got that exact quote, how he got the dude included in that quote. I'm not sure how that went down. Maybe he just overheard a conversation, but that feels like it's ultimately true. I don't think there's a lie there. John Schneider's definitely had Kevin Biggio's back. And I think it's like what the context is. Like, if you're expecting Kevin Biggio to be a part of the former major leaguer son collection with Bo and Vlad and hold him to that standard, well, you shouldn't be, because he's not that guy. But if we're talking about utility guys, guys who are going to play smaller roles, guys who can do a variety of roles, guys that are in the depths of your 23-man, whatever the lineup is going to be at whatever time, like, I compare him to Santiago Espinal, and I see so much more value in a guy like Kevin Biggio and compared to Paul DeJong and compared to Davis Schneider.
Don't even bring that guy
like
up.
Like, Kevin Biggio finds ways to, despite a poor average, despite not slashing what you'd want from an everyday guy, fifth hitter, no less, he finds a way to help you win ball games every now and then. Yep. He did it the other night. He did it with that double play about a week ago, 10 days ago. I mean, he has moments, and he's had moments over the last couple months here where he's proven that he should have a roster spot and that manager John Schneider should never give up on him.
No, never. Paul DeJong, 3-for-42 start with the Blue Jays, 0 walks, 17 strikeouts. Kevin Biggio in the last 30 games, 13 RBIs. He's at an 841 OPS, scored 17 runs, and batting .297. I mean, that's more than what you would expect for a guy in that part of your lineup. Somebody just texted in saying he's won us more games than Vladdy since Bo's been out.
100%.
Yep. 100%. And we'll just give him a little moment.
Everyone should have a Kevin Biggio in their life, right?
Yeah.
Someone that just...
And maybe Davis,
someone they believe in.
Davis Schneider came in here and maybe lit a fire under Kevin Biggio's ass, because he's like, this guy's coming in and he's batting number one and he's been the talk of the town, and I need to pick it up.
Yeah, maybe.
That's glamorizing it a bit, but hey, sometimes you need a little competition, friendly competition within your roster.
Tell you what, there was potential for a movie with Davis Schneider, but that's cooled a little bit.
Yeah. Netflix was just typing out a contract to follow the Blue Jays and Davis Schneider around.
David Ayer's agent is frantically making phone calls trying to get in touch with Davis Schneider.
One of the biggest applause last night was when Davis Schneider got an at-bat.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't much else.
No, there hasn't been much else.
Anyway, so Blue Jays off tonight, which is perfect because I'm going to Chris Stapleton concert and I don't have to...
There you go.
I don't have to stream with Rogers Ignite. I can just enjoy my guy Chris Stapleton back-to-back nights. I know we gave tickets out to that, so if you're going, say
Are
hi.
You going back-to-back?
No. He's back-to-back here.
He's back-to-back.
But what a night
to
choose. You
doing first or second show?
I'm going tonight. First show.
I don't know what the...
First show. Nobody plays on a Wednesday, Thursday.
I didn't know that.
Thursday, Friday.
I'm not Chris Mr. Concert Goer.
You are definitely not Mr. Concert Goer.
There's a show every night at Bud Stage.
There really is.
It seems like.
Yeah. And that's why.
Stapleton's too good for a Wednesday. Is that what you're saying?
He is too good for a Wednesday.
Okay.
100%. He's a Thursday, Friday guy. Maybe a Saturday.
Sorry to our Wednesday performers.
Well, no, it's. So I'm glad. It's just good scheduling. I thought way, way ahead. So.
That is perfect.
Want to talk some Michael Bunting?
Sure.
Okay, so our guy...
Don't sound so excited.
No. I just, he's like, you can't get rid of him in the back of your mind, too. You know?
No, you can't. I mean, like, he's always just because you've signed with another team, it's...
Doesn't mean you're done.
Still a content opportunity.
So, J.D. Bunkus' podcast, yesterday, so he's on after us. You might have caught it if you listened to our 8:30 block and then lead into J.D., but the J.D. Bunkus podcast had Michael Bunting on yesterday. Obviously he left for the Hurricanes in free agency, and we didn't really hear much down the stretch about Michael Bunting's situation with the Maple Leafs or what was on the table. And then obviously there's a new general manager and kind of just got swept away, and we hadn't heard from Michael Bunting publicly from anyone getting an opportunity to chat with him. So Bunkus and Bunting chatted.
That's quite the tandem.
The double B's got a chat yesterday. Let's play the Bunting audio clip first and then we can react.
It was just quick talks, nothing extensive. Not much went on during the season. I think our main goal was, to make the playoffs and contend for the Stanley Cup. So the season flies by pretty fast. So I it wasn't a lot of contract talk went on during the season, and then kind of once the off season came along and whatnot, and I didn't really hear much, and then it just kind of figured that it wasn't going to work out. So that's when I started transitioning to free agency and focusing on that, because obviously I wanted to make sure I was in a good spot leading up to free agency, and I'm really happy of how it ended up with Carolina.
So, I mean, obviously, Michael Bunting's going on a show like JD's show and telling you what he's comfortable telling you, right? That's obviously step one here. But it is interesting that, I guess, and he claims that a contract never really was tabled in his direction. I mean, if we're going back 11 months, 10 months, there was talk of 8 years for Michael Bunting.
We talked about that, right? On this show.
A lot. And those things snowball, and maybe they take on a life form of their own, and we say it and we joke around about it, and we're like, good thing he didn't have 8 years when he's going. Yeah. Maybe it's more than it really was, but there's different pieces here. Like, did they talk about it last summer? Did it actually go quiet with Kyle Dubas? Did his performance change the way Dubas thought of things, or did Michael Bunting just say, hey, I'm not doing anything right now, like, we're just playing the season, like, he kind of talks about it. And of course then there's a change at the general manager position, and Brad Treliving comes in, and that's what that clip started with. There was only like not even preliminary, just like chatter, just like
it was quick talks.
How you doing?
Nothing extensive.
Quick talks, nothing extensive. That's good to not paraphrase or to make up stories. So like, that makes sense though, because a new guy's coming in and he's putting his stamp on it. And I guess another part of this thing is that, our guy Frank Saravelli had him making the most money, and that stuff does permeate.
It sure does.
The minds of general managers and organizations. So I could see Treliving showing up being like, I can't even hang in this ballpark, so go do what you got to do. But I don't know, and I don't think we'll ever really know, if Dubas would have worked to get him back, if Treliving would have wanted him back if the price was smaller, and what was actually talked about, 11 months ago or 10 months ago, when we heard the rumblings about 8 years. But I guess if Bunting wanted to be a Leaf, maybe there was a missed opportunity. Maybe there was no opportunity. But in the end, and as he talks about being said about Carolina, as he should, he said that one of his most important things was winning. And of course, he's going to get a chance to do that in Carolina. And he made a decent sum of money. But last year was a roller coaster for Bunting. It started off with like, hey, are you a forever Leaf?
Yeah.
No, are you a forever Leaf with eight years? Because you made the decision to take less money to come here in the first place.
And he does say that in JD's interview,
and
too.
He said he had more money on the table elsewhere,
and he wanted to play for Leafs. So that's great to hear.
And I guess he knew there was opportunity to put up a lot of points with some really good players because they kind of alluded to that. But where all this traveled, like maybe there was some consequence to everything that happened last season with the beefing with the refs, if you want to call it that, you know, the issues with Sheldon Keefe, if you think there were issues with Sheldon Keefe. It was drama filled with Bunting last year, and I kind of soured on it. I think it's a good thing that they're not spending a lot of money on him because I don't know where it was going to go. But, you know, it's interesting to hear some of the anecdotes that we got from Bunting yesterday because last year it wasn't just like, hey, this is a nice player that we hope to retain. It was very drama filled.
Yeah, you can check the whole interview out on JD Bunker's podcast. It was yesterday in his 9 o'clock hour. But I mean, I'm not really that surprised, I think, when I heard this because the shine really wore off. And maybe it's because we're always looking for something as Leaf fans and covering the Leafs that is a reason of passion. And maybe sometimes it's a negative passion. And it's like Michael Bunting. The shine, when I say shine wore off, the ref frustration became a talking point for everybody. It became the thing to circle in a game. Oh, well, if, you know, Bunting's getting out of character, he's distracting. Like, we've definitely leaned into a lot of that. He gets suspended for 3 games. Like, it's not a great way to bookend.
In the playoffs.
Like, if you're talking about extensions and conversations, it's a lasting bitter taste that you guys suspended for 3 games in the playoffs. The Leafs don't, you know, ultimately make it very far in the playoffs. Certainly distractions. We talked about, are you going to put him back in the lineup? Do they change a winning lineup? Like, it just became a lot about Michael Bunting and not always in positive conversation. And he wasn't as productive. And there were some low moments in the season where he was a fourth liner and there was frustration. So I'm not really that surprised that there weren't conversations. And obviously, as you mentioned, like, this is one person's perspective. Like, there might have been more conversation, but, you know, kind of felt like it had run its course. I think they did a great job at adding Michael Bunting-esque snot to this lineup that, I mean, I'm really happy to have Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi versus Michael Bunting. Like, well, if I had to choose, I'm happy with those two versus Michael Bunting 10 times over.
If they're snot, he sniffles, right? Like,
oh,
there was,
wow.
You always stop me in my tracks if I come up with anything.
Well, that was
creative.
Just really good.
Okay, so
we got a big upgrade.
But that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, these guys are a little bit more. The guys they brought in particular, Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi, are a little bit more of what Michael Bunting, you know, if Michael Bunting started down that path, they're further down that path. They have the snot. That's exactly what it is. And Michael Bunting, despite his effectiveness, despite his ability to score goals, put up points, and be an agitator, there were some things in that agitator role, that agitator slash scorer role that he left to be desired. And frankly, I'm not surprised that Brad Treliving wasn't that interested.
Yeah.
In the end.
I don't really know. I haven't looked too deep into what his lineup role will be for the Carolina Hurricanes, but they have a lot of talent. Like, I don't think he'll be a top line player like he had been flirting with the Maple Leafs. I think he will be a little bit lower than
line. It's just because he's kind of that guy who's malleable, right? Like, you can kind of throw him anywhere. Maybe. I'd have to look at their depth chart, but they got 6 better forwards. I know in Carolina.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, is one of them playing in a checking role or whatever. I don't know. I just don't think he's a great bottom 6 forward. And you pay him like a top 6 forward if you're Carolina right now. So we'll see how it shakes down. But in terms of level of importance, it's probably less than it was in Toronto in Carolina, just because it is more of a deep team. Mm-hmm. It's a team that got Aho under, what was it, $9 million?
Yep.
Or just under $10 million.
I think under
Anyway, 10. Something that you'd like if you're a Maple Leaf to see one of your stars sign for under $10 million for 8 years.
8.4?
That's his current deal. I think it bumped up like almost $1 million or something like that. Anyway.
9.75.
Is it 9.75? So it's still pretty good. I mean, that's what you want to see from, like, it might be a little much for Nylander, but not enough for Matthews. Anyway, Sebastian Aho is a great player who took a little bit less and helped set the standard there. And Bunting's making good money in Carolina. But a lot of people are making pretty good money in Carolina because they've set up their cap accordingly.
It's going to be a good team. And he wants to win, and I think they have certainly a good chance at making a run for it this year. So that's the Michael Bunting update for your August 17th.
It's a good interview. It was a great interview. Definitely worth checking out.
And it's not always that you get to talk to like a former Leaf that wants to actually give you some information too, and not just like, well, the boys are buzzing, you know, something's good.
A little bit more honest than you'd expect.
Yeah, I respect that because sometimes it's hard to get much from players. So good for him and best of luck in Carolina. I'm sure when he comes back to play the Maple Leafs, probably score on the first night because that's always how it works.
That is.
I'm already putting my future bets on that.
And Carolina is one of those teams that kind of torments the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
They're just one of those
teams. He might torment us for a couple of years to come.
He may just. You had beef about NFL headlines. Like, what's going on there?
So yesterday, obviously, this is kind of dog days of summer. We're looking for what's trending. You know, what can we talk about besides Kevin Biggio? And I'm like,
that's top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the heap right now.
You have a three-hour show, though. So I'm like, okay, what other things are going on? Like, you know, we were golfing all day yesterday, so we weren't online all day. So I sit down and I'm like, okay, let's go to the NFL storylines. And every single storyline that I tried to, like, every article, NFL training camps, was a fight at this training camp, a fight at this training camp, a brawl at this training camp, a brawl between two teams in a scrimmage, and this guy punched this guy in the face, this guy got carted off, this coach is upset. It was all, I'm just like, why? I don't really understand. I do understand it. How about that? I do get it because you're trying to maybe make an impact, a name for yourself, whatever, but it's just like there's a fight every day at every single training camp in NFL.
It's dog days.
It is just Brawl City. I don't know. I just kind of bugged
me. Was it never, really heated competition at Dartmouth camps, at TMU camps? Nothing in that vein?
Definitely not. Like,
you and Laura never threw down?
No.
When someone messed up a drill?
No, I was mostly like, good, you're so good. But do you not notice that? And like, do you not see that when you're trying to get information about NFL training camps? It's like, this guy has a good right hook. I'm like, can he catch a ball?
Yeah, I guess so. I kind of gloss over though. Like, it's one of those ones that I guess I feel the same way because I just don't pay any mind to it. It happens though. I mean, it's, you know, it's hot. They're working hard. It's a grind. You're in each other's faces. It usually becomes between a wide receiver and a defensive back to have their hands on each other like all day for like an hour, and they're pushing and shoving. Frankly, that's something I marvel about in sports is like how there aren't more fights. How guys that aren't like constantly in each other's faces.
Well, there's like one a year
constantly
in an NHL.
In each other's faces. Well, the NHL, there are fights because they allow
fighting. Preseason. Like, there's only, like, one ever, like,
mean infighting. I mean just, like, in general.
Oh,
and especially when you have training camps that are, like, hybrid and, like, mm-hmm. the Commanders and Dallas Cowboy. I guess they wouldn't do that because they're in the division. Mm-hmm. But two teams that don't associate with each other are practicing together and going at it. It's like, if they're trying so hard to impress someone, they're being overly physical. You don't want to get, like... you don't want to get alpha'd by someone who's in the same spot as you where they're fighting for something. Like, when people are desperate, mm-hmm. I guess that's what you get. But just in general, I don't know how there aren't more fights across all sport. Like, it is so highly competitive, as we know. And you're just, especially in basketball, just bumping into each other all the time. Like,
true.
It's just like,
I think basketball probably has the least amount of fights.
They do, I would say.
Basketball, then baseball, then hockey. Then football, then hockey.
If you want to count soccer, I don't know where it is. There's not many, but like even that too, because they're like...
You'd be stretchered off if somebody punched you in soccer. Like,
You're a soccer hater, right?
No, but come on, be honest. If somebody elbowed you, you're stretchered off.
It can be a little bit more dramatic.
Somebody punched somebody in soccer, they would be stretchered off.
Not everyone.
Yes.
It's a blanket statement for everyone. There's some tough guys playing soccer. Come on.
Name two. Exactly.
I get, but you don't see their toughness on display at all times.
Anyway, but no, I just
Thiago Silva.
Okay, I'm just gonna take take your word for it because I don't know. Okay, well, I don't know. I just thought that bugged me. Well, not bugged me. Just it was a point of
you want real information.
I want to know what's going on, not just this guy fought this guy. But we're in that time.
We're definitely in that time. It feels like a Hard Knocks content play though.
Yeah,
where it just comes up. It's like, we need something. Can we convince Jalen Ramsey to take a swipe at this receiver?
And
he's the one that's, you know, a little bit more combustible. So we're definitely going to get a fight.
There you go.
You know, actually, I have one more theory on why they do it. Stop working out after that.
That's kind of smart.
You got to break it up. I mean,
you get a break.
We're an hour 45 into a workout.
It is such a grind, though. NFL training camps
it's hot.
Is insane.
Yeah, and they've been working forever, and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore, so let's just fight for 10 minutes.
I was watching NFL Network, and they had Charles Davis on, of course. I think I sent you a photo. I feel like
that's the reason why you know about all these fights, because you're going back to the NFL Network looking for Charles.
I'm curious. And he was just sweating buckets. Like, they were so sweaty, and I think it was in Atlanta. They were doing it in Florida somewhere. But it's just like these guys in their pads out on the field, like just running drills, running stadiums. No, polo. Nice polo.
Okay.
Everyone in the NFL Network had nice polos on.
Yeah, I mean, suits would be cruel and unusual punishment.
No, not even fair. But it's just, that's probably the worst training camp. At least hockey, you're in a, confined area, and then you go in the gym, which is confined and it's air conditioned. But NFL training camp would probably be, I don't think I'd survive 2 hours.
Well, that's the biggest plus of playing hockey, covering hockey, working in hockey. You're never in the middle of the field sweating like a pig because there's no avoiding it. You're in a rink where it's comfortable. You get to wear a nice cozy sweater, maybe a jacket. It's great.
Soccer, you can fare the elements here and there. I mean, basketball, same thing.
Basketball's good.
I feel like basketball training camp, all they do is just run suicides, run shuttles, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
It's
probably a lot of shooting. Yeah. A lot of the OVO scoreboard.
Raptors better be working on that. Actually, you know, I was thinking the other day, Pascal keeps popping up on my timeline. He's just fully in vacation posting content. Have you seen his Instagram lately?
No.
Where's
he at?
Yesterday he was doing this photo shoot with Red Bull, and he was in a helicopter, and he was doing a whole shoot there. His next post is him on vacation. The next post is him in a beautiful, I think it's a Lamborghini or a Porsche. He's just living the dream. And
I mean,
get working that. Let's get going.
Everyone lives the dream in their own context. Pascal, helicopters, vacations, you. Quality round at Osprey
had
Valley
a good,
yesterday.
Had a good game yesterday. Osprey Valley is perfect. That was really nice. It was a beautiful course.
It is.
We had a good time.
It is quite beautiful.
Yeah, we played the Hoot. It was a Hoot. Stunning day. It was 26 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, direct sun all day. Definitely draining. After
I think
a
no-nap
day.
Six water bottles.
Yeah, it was a no-nap day. By the time we got home, I didn't get home until the first pitch of the Blue Jays game, and we had been up since 4, and I mean, it's a nice day. I understand it's not the strenuous work, but we did our shift, and then we went and played.
You're allowed to be tired.
Played a whole round 4.5 hours in the direct sun, and then drove home an hour 45 in traffic. I was so grumpy, and I hadn't eaten anything.
Really, your emotion changed? I mean, you were on top of the world when you left the course.
I was sitting on the Gardner, what's going on here? But I was stuck in people driving into Toronto for the Blue Jays game. The CNE is starting up and there's closures, and I live right there. So there's road closures and there's an accident. Anyway, an hour 45, it was grumpy, no nap.
But you powered through.
But it was a beautiful round. The best part was my chip in on 18. Mm-hmm. What a way to finish the round. Chip it in on 18, grab your ball, walk off into the sunset. That's what keeps you coming back.
That's you're pretty happy about that.
Well, I've really never done that before.
No?
Chipped in from the rough, right in. Just what a way to fit
your
last shot of the game.
Your short game's improving.
I'm coming.
It's good because you're still hitting it comfortably 240 off the tee.
Oh,
you're in a good spot.
The driver was dialed once again.
You beat me yesterday. I would have been tight, but I was 9 over on my last 3 holes.
You kind of fell apart at the end.
It was an absolute disaster. Yeah. I did, though. You win the war. I win the battle. Another birdie. 2-0 and tweet tweet.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
That's all I got.
We're golfing with our friend.
Mid-90s scores and one birdie
every
4 rounds.
We're golfing with our friend Eric, and he just casually has an eagle putt while we're just not even paying attention. We're talking about.
We're in the bush finding balls, and he's lining up an eagle putt and he nails it.
He's like, oh, yeah, it was eagle. What? So that's the dream one.
Casual eagle is the dream.
Casual eagle. Okay, before we get TJ and Amber Brody in studio here to talk about Burgers to Beat MS Day, which will be at 7 a.m., we're going to do an A-list featuring, I don't know, you're kind of torn on if you like Orioles announcer Kevin Brown or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're
I don't know if I'm going to turn on Kevin Brown.
You might.
I might have to listen to the audio.
That's after the break on the A-list.
Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, we're not far removed from Orioles broadcaster Kevin Brown being, I don't know, half fired. Not sure how to explain that, but...
half fired is pretty good.
Yeah, he was half fired.
I think he was half fired.
Yeah, and then brought back because there was free Kevin Brown chance. The world was all with him because all he did was say the Orioles were not... Anyway, he was just honest and not rude at all. Anyway, we don't need to get into that because everyone, we've played it already.
He relayed some stats.
He relayed stats that were on a board on the television. Nonetheless, he's now, you know, everything he says is getting some airtime. Yesterday, he is broadcasting the Orioles game, which I believe they were down 7 or 10 nothing. Yeah, 10-0 during this time.
Appeared to be a struggle.
So not much going on. But they get into a little tangent here, and this has caught a lot of excitement online, but Justin might not feel the same way.
So let's hear it.
Let's play the clip. Here's Kevin Brown.
Don't tell me you don't know Blink 182.
I'll be honest, never heard of Blink 182.
Are you kidding me?
Sounds like a fighter jet to me.
Let's get out of here. You don't know Blink 182?
I probably know the song.
Yeah. All the Small Things? No?
Sing it for me.
All
I might reckon.
Small Things.
Oh, okay, don't sing it anymore.
Say it ain't so. Tom DeLong has had a lot of Padres games. Big fan. Tom has this, like, very distinct nasally voice. You know? So he goes, "Where are you? And I'm so sorry."
Now I recognize
you. You do. You
yeah,
got
you
it
sound
now.
Just
Thank
like
you.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, about time.
There you go. I think it's fun. What else are you going to do? It's 10-0.
He's doing what a guy who doesn't have any issues is doing.
Oh, he's free bird now.
And that's kind of what my thing is, like, what happens if you survive a near-death experience? Does it straighten you out a little bit?
You're like living on free time.
All of a sudden, are you liberated and you just, you know, it's suddenly a comedy routine. I mean, he survived a near-death experience and it seems like he's going the latter route where now he's liberated. He can do and say whatever he wants.
Okay, but not knowing Blink 182 is, like,
know.
I'm not sure who his
color guy was, but.
If you said that you didn't know who Blink 182 was, I would certainly get into song as well.
You would sing it, and you have sung that all morning. I'm not sure if you're going to do it on the air, but.
Where are you?
There you go. It's a great song.
That was pretty good.
I'm all for Blink 182 at any time.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. That's going to be stuck in everyone's head today, so apologize
for that. Definitely
is. Apologize.
Kevin Brown.
Kevin Brown and his color. McDonald, I believe, is his last name. Anywho, one more for you before we take a break. Little League World Series is going on. I love Little League World Series. It's just, there's little cuties, little nuggets. But they put up, if you forget, they'll put up the guy's name, the little kid. He's like 11 years old, and then they'll write a little fun stat or fact about them.
Fun fact.
Here's a couple from last night's game. Brody Jackson, 11 years old, 4'11", third baseman. Dream job, chicken nugget taste tester.
That's
I could get on board
with
that.
How old was he?
11.
That sounds about right for an 11-year-old.
Here's Leo Randazzo, another third baseman.
Good handle.
Bats 9 in the lineup. Looks at memes before games for good luck.
Sounds like a vibes guy.
Yeah, he looks like a vibes
guy. Ninth hitter, though. I mean, just like Kevin Biggio, you can help. You can find a way to win a ball game.
This one's pretty good. 12-year-old Blake Money. This is his real name.
Okay.
5'10". He's 5'10". He's 12 years old. What? That's tall. Anyway.
I'm looking up to Blake Money. I don't feel good about that.
Money. And so they show Blake Money, and his little stat is has three siblings. Morgan, Logan, and Cash. And then
they've played in the Little League World Series before.
So they show his younger brother in the stands called Cash Money, and he's got dollar sign glasses on.
What sort of, I mean, I don't know if his real name's Cash, but what sort of future are you giving your kid if
it's
you name
tough,
him Cash Money?
It's tough.
Like, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble.
Here's 13-year-old Colby Cover, 5'1". Well, didn't get the jeans there. Favorite website? www.google.com.
I don't know if that's satirical or just a real answer.
And
either way, it works.
Presley Smith, he was 0-2 at this at-bat, left fielder. Hobby, talking to girls.
Who's that? Presley?
Presley.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. Anyway, look, they're so cute. I don't know what my fun one would be. Just,
I don't know. Just dig up your hockey card from when you were 12.
No, I know what mine said. I said I wanted to be on the women's Olympic team or a professional rock climber. And I have no idea. I've never climbed a rock in my life. I don't know why I wrote that. I don't know if I did write that. My parents, it also said hobbies, bodybuilding.
That's, yeah.
I can show you this. I was six years old. I have the card. I'll bring it in one day and you can look at it. Anyway. All right. TJ and Amber Brody are going to join us after the break in studio. We real people guests on behalf of A&W Canada celebrating the 15th annual Burgers to Beat MS Day. We'll go through the personal story and the connection for them and talk about how our listeners can help. All that's next.